Hello, welcome to the fourth edition of the Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programmers podcast. Once again, it seems there's a bald man who's got access to a microphone and is going to use it to be wrong on the internet. My name's Graham Lee, and for episode four, I want to go back to the topic of episode one, which was Amiga Smalltalk. Rather uninspiringly, Amiga Smalltalk is a project to create a Smalltalk for Amiga using the blue Smalltalk book, the language and its implementation. I now have an Amiga set up. I have a working Sneakernet set up, so I can at least get files between my Linux computer and my Amiga. So I should be able to, well, I say I should be able to compile the thing. I should be able to try and compile the thing and see whether what I've actually built, which I believe is in portable C, is going to work on the Amiga. What I don't have is a version control system. It is possible to get Subversion, and there's a project called the Aminet, which has been running for decades. I think it probably even predates the World Wide Web, or at least didn't start on the World Wide Web. It's a distribution site for Amiga software. In this day and age, they support multiple architectures, so as well as the classic Amiga, they have software for Amigas with PowerPC accelerators. They have software for modern re-implementations of Amiga OS as well. But what I couldn't find was the Git version control system, which is what I've been using for Amiga Smalltalk. I could get Subversion from Aminet, and indeed when Stephen Baker and I set up Amiga Smalltalk, we did it using Subversion and then Git SVN on the client side. So it would be possible to access the Subversion repository directly once the Amiga is on the internet. But for now, I should be able to just rsync files between my repository on my Linux computer and a compact flash card, and then walk from one side of the room to the other holding the compact flash card, and get the files onto the Amiga that way. That will be sufficient, because I'm still at the stage where what I'm writing doesn't interface with the operating system. I'm writing an interpreter for Smalltalk 80 bytecode, just in pure C. So really, I only need to do the build on the Amiga once, just to make sure that the language, the C features that I'm using, are available on the Amiga, and I'm pretty sure that they won't be, for reasons that we'll come to. So I wasn't able to find Git, but as I say, for the moment I don't really need to be working frequently enough on the Amiga to want to make all the commits over there. But I do need a working development environment, and for people who have used C or similar languages through Unix systems and like modern compilers like GCC and LLVM, you're probably in for a bit of a shock when it comes to developing software for the Amiga, and indeed for any of these sort of 1980s, 90s era home computers. There wasn't a developer kit distributed with the computer at all, as like an optional disk that nobody took out of the box even. There was a scripting language called Rex on versions 2 and later of the Amiga operating system, but the software development kit, the NDK as they called it, for native development, was not distributed without sort of signing up with Commodore as a registered developer. So I've been able to get a copy on CD-ROM from a company called Amiga Inc., which existed for a short amount of time after Commodore went bust. They bought the rights and the assets and distributed basically the header files on CD-ROM. And really, the NDK is just that. It's the header files and a few like text documents that explain how to use some of the functions in the libraries. So the idea is that I copy those header files to whatever location the compiler uses to find header files, and hope that I was correct about my guess about what that location is, because often the compilers aren't particularly well documented either. So Commodore didn't distribute their own C compiler. There was one called Amiga C, but it was a rebranding of a third-party compiler called Lattice C. And so like third-party vendors filled in the gaps. And a lot of people didn't use C for their programs. You know, a lot of people were writing either in BASIC. The very first version of Amiga operating system did indeed come with a BASIC. And there were many commercial implementations like Blitz BASIC and Amos BASIC. But people also used Pascal, a language called Amiga E, a different BASIC called Amos, GFA BASIC. But there were a few C compilers available. But what you didn't see there was that I had to sort of use the scare quotes fingers for C compilers. Because these compilers may or may not have implemented standard C. You know, we're used now to GCC having some language extensions that have become common enough that LLVM has to support them as well. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised to find that Microsoft Visual C supports some of the GNU extensions. Indeed, Microsoft Visual C compiler has its own extensions as well. But these compilers may not have even implemented the standard correctly. They were often rough already, or sort of, you know, chose a subset of the language that would allow people to make progress with their code in the fairly constrained environment of the micro. Having said constrained, the first compiler I've got access to is from Hisoft. Now, Hisoft is a company that still exists. As far as I can tell, they're a web development company now, and they sell retail systems, point of sale systems too. And their product for the Amiga is Hisoft C++, which has a sort of project builder type IDE where you can add files and then get it to like compile the whole thing and edit your C++. This may or may not be a standard variant of C++, and its C parts may or may not be a standard variant of C. I haven't tried it yet. And besides, I tend to use the Micro Emacs editor when I'm on the Amiga, so I may not interface with its IDE too much. The other commercial compiler that I have access to is called SASC. This is the one that was originally called Lattice C that Commodore did distribute with their developer kit at one time. And that one seems to have sort of survived through the lifetime of the Amiga into the time when people were building PowerPC extension boards and then software that compiled for the PowerPC processor running alongside the 68000 that was on the Amiga. So this one doesn't exactly have an IDE, but it does come with its own editor that has a build button. That's that was often state of the art. Essentially, on like the Next, for example, Project Builder was a file manager with a build button that was a front end to a sort of make file construction kit, and then it had a separate text editor. But the other way that people built developer tools was to have an editor which had a compile button in it. And it doesn't have a project manager. SAS-C doesn't have the sort of file collection and organization tool. What it does is it gives you a template folder in the workbench, which is the sort of file management IDE, file management environment of the Amiga operating system. It gives you a folder that has icons for editing files or compiling the C that's in that folder. And then you just write all of your files in there and double click on the build icon when you want it to compile them. So those are the two commercial compilers that I have access to. And then there's this idea in the 90s, and particularly prevalent on the Amiga, of public domain software, which was neither commercial software in that it wasn't sold, it was given away, but neither was it, you know, what we would now call free software or open source software, in that you weren't given access to the source code. So the binary was like freely distributed. The author would sort of submit it to a library, and then like people would just bundle these applications or tools or games together on disks, often just putting as many on a disk as would fit, and then copying that disk to people and charging them, you know, for the media and the postage. And then like other people would collect other libraries. It's sort of the mixtape of the software world, if you like. So there is a public domain C compiler called North C, written by someone called Paul Overa. It is just a C compiler, an assembler, and a linker as separate tools. So you run the North C C compiler, and what you get out is a .s file that contains some 68,000 assembly. You assemble that and you get a binary object, and then you link that and you get an executable. So entirely unintegrated, but yeah, is known to work. I've used it before, and so that's a possibility for compiling Amiga Smalltalk as well. The final option I have, also available from the Aminet, is that there is a build of GCC for the Amiga. That's GCC 2.95, which is actually fairly modern in the scheme of things. I know we're up to version 8 or 9 of GCC now, but 2.95 was still a popular build of GCC when I was using Linux on PCs at university in the 2000s. So this is certainly a more modern like version of GCC than probably any of the other compilers that I have access to on an Amiga, and that means that it's probably the most likely to implement standard C. And as I've been building the project with a modern version of GCC anyway, it's likely that any time I've accidentally used a GNU extension, it's going to be one that's supported by that version, 2.95 on the Amiga. My problem, my downfall, is likely to be if I have used any features from C99 or C11. But you know, assuming I'm using contemporary C, the parts of C that are supported by GCC 2.95 are the most likely to be compatible with parts of C that I've used. I think, though, that it's probably the least likely to run on my Amiga. Now, I've tried it before and didn't get particularly far with a stock Amiga 1200, which had no floating point unit. So the idea that you can do floating point maths in hardware has been around for a very long time, but a lot of processors didn't support the floating point instructions directly. They only had integer maths, and the 68,000 family was no exception. They came with a separate chip called either the 68881 or 68882. There were two different variants that that supported floating point maths in hardware. If you didn't have one of those, then you could emulate floating point maths very slowly using a software library called libieee-double. And not all software relied on that. So often if you didn't have access to that library or weren't using it, then you only had integer maths. I don't know whether GCC requires a floating point unit, but because it's a Unix tool, and Unix platforms typically did have floating point, the Next and the Sun 68,000 workstations being no exception, it is likely that there just was an expectation that floating point would be available. The other thing that those Unix workstations have, which an Amiga lacks, and even the upgraded Amiga 1200 I have now lacks this, is a memory management unit. So you only have physical access to the real RAM that's on the computer, and you access that any like pointer location you have in your process corresponds to an actual physical location in the hardware of where that memory is stored. There's no abstraction between the memory that's allocated in a running process and the memory, the physical memory on the computer, which means that there's no paging or swapping, which means that you're limited to exactly that physical memory. If you try to use more, then you're in trouble. And also the Amiga has no memory protection. So if you use a pointer to memory that you aren't responsible for, or go out of bounds on any memory access, then you're just going to write over something else and eventually trouble will arise. Again, it's likely that GCC will just expect an MMU to exist, or will want more memory for its compilation step than I've got available. But I have got in this Amiga 6 megabytes of RAM, the stock amount being 2. So hopefully that's enough to like just run a compiler. So I'm hoping that next time we come back to the Amiga Smalltalk topic, I will actually have built the software on an Amiga and we'll be that bit closer to running this project as intended. However, there is a side quest that I've got to pursue first, which is partly setting up the development environment and then partly learning how to interface with the libraries and use the library functions on the Amiga operating system use the particularly the graphical user interface features that I'm going to need to make Amiga Smalltalk a reality. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. As ever, feedback on email graham@iamleeg.com or Twitter iwasleeg. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.